Our Dharma talk this evening will be given by Boundless Way Zen Dharma holder and priest, Reverend Bob Waldinger.
This beautiful chant tonight, a blessing for the journey, is by Wendy Nakao, one of the modern Roshis, one of the great women of modern Zen. She's been abbot of the Zen Center of Los Angeles for almost 30 years. And this great new chant book of ours has many more voices of women. So good to hear these voices. For me personally, women's voices have been profoundly important in Zen. And good to see them represented more clearly. And perhaps not a surprise that this woman of Zen writes about how we treat each other, how we live together in this world of form. And it brings up for me all these issues of cause and effect. How we act, how our acts reverberate throughout the universe, but certainly reverberate throughout the Sangha, with our loved ones, with our friends. The Buddha taught, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. If someone speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows them. If someone speaks or acts from a pure thought, happiness follows them. This concept of karma, cause and effect, sometimes sounds so mystical. But as one teacher described it, it's really more like gravity. Cause and effect operates whether you believe in it or not. And here in this practice, we watch cause and effect in our minds, in our bodies, in the Kinhin line. But what about living in a larger community where the awareness of karma, of cause and effect, infuses everything? I had a surprising introduction to that. In November, I traveled to the Kingdom of Bhutan for work. And the Kingdom of Bhutan is this tiny little kingdom at the base of the Himalayas. It's been Buddhist since the 9th century, when a great bodhisattva flew in on a tiger and founded Buddhism. And when you ask people, they will tell you this is the truth. Talk about a great vehicle. And I found that even though this was a trip for work, it was a spiritual journey. Couldn't help but be. Because what I saw were people for whom karma was a living, breathing, moment-to-moment consideration in everything they did. For me, the most profound experience was climbing up to the tiger's nest, the nest of 7 magnificent Buddhist temples hanging on a sheer rock face, founded by the bodhisattva who flew in on the tiger, and the tiger made his nest up there. And now there are these seven magnificent temples, but it takes hours to climb the mountain. So one of my colleagues, my Bhutanese colleagues, took the day off from his work and took me up the mountain. His name is Karma. And when we talk about Zazen doing Zazen, only Buddha and Buddha, this was Karma teaching me about Karma. It started as we drove toward the mountain, and we drove over a sacred river, and he stopped so that I could get out and see it, and there were fish everywhere, swimming. And I said, oh, it must be wonderful fishing here. He said, no, we don't fish. I couldn't understand. He said, no, it takes too many lives to feed your family with fish. One yak will feed your family for half a year. If I cannot not cause harm, may I cause the least harm possible. We drove on, and what I noticed was the highway signs. What would be a sign that says no speeding in the U.S.? Those signs in Bhutan say, nature never hurries, yet everything is accomplished. Really. I was simply entranced. And then we started trudging up the mountain at high altitude, and I am huffing and puffing and feeling every bit of my age. And Karma is next to me, and we're talking, and he's telling me about life in Bhutan. And I'm feeling very righteous climbing this mountain. And then I see this group of Italian tourists on ponies, and they're drinking wine, and they're having bread and cheese, and they're riding up the mountain on ponies. And I started to feel very self-righteous. Giovanni, I apologize for that self-righteousness. And I made some snarky comment, and Karma said to me, oh no, this is very important. They need their wine, they need their lunch, they need the ponies. That if they can go to the seven temples, this generates great karma for them. And so it's very important that they have what they need. And the ponies, he explained, were family members. They were the ponies of guides who took these people up the mountain. And the ponies were allowed to go up once a day. They were never allowed to carry anything down because that would hurt the ponies' legs. And when the ponies were done with this work, the ponies were retired, but they were fed and cared for because they were family members. They had worked all their lives to support these families who brought tourists up the mountain. Freely giving and receiving, I shall care for you, for the trees and stars, as treasures of my very own. And I asked him, what about anger? Do you get angry? Because he was one of the happiest people I knew. Not a Dharma teacher, officially. Not a monk. An architect. But so happy and so steeped in love of the Dharma. And he said, oh yes, I get angry. And it is very important that the anger stops with me. That I do not pass it on. That it generates great karma and great merit when I do not pass on my anger. And he told me about Bhutan's only battle in recent times. A group of Indian rebels crossed the border into Bhutan and set up a base there from which to go back to India and make trouble. And the Bhutanese had to get them out because they were terrifying the farmers. And so they sent soldiers and they had to fight the rebels. And the way Karma and then later other Bhutanese friends described the battle was with great sadness. And they said over and over again, 40 people were killed. Nobody ever said how many Bhutanese were killed or how many Indians were killed. It didn't matter. 40 lives were lost. And the king would not allow any celebration when the victory was complete. Only the building of a commemorative temple. But Karma let me know that they had to take prisoners, and those prisoners got the best food and clean beds and access to television. Because the way you care for beings properly is you give them access to television. Let us vow to forgive all hurt caused by ourselves and others, and never to condone hurtful ways. How do we forgive? How do we forgive ourselves? How do we forgive others? Think of the anger that you hold on to. Anger that you might not feel you can ever let go. Someone who's hurt you deeply. Someone who's made you feel ashamed. The hardest place is that place of interrupting the karma, of not either spewing it back or paying it onward. Such hard work. That is our practice. And our practice will bring up all these hurts and all the anger and all the evil karma that we then atone for through our practice. Being responsible for my actions, I shall free myself and you. Will you free me too? Will you take responsibility for your actions as I take responsibility for mine? Of course, Buddhism teaches us that we are part of this karmic flow. We are part of infinite causes and conditions that arise together in each moment and pass away. Unfathomable causes and conditions. Think about all of the causes and conditions that brought each of us here tonight. Everything from our great, 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 great grandparents to our great vehicles that brought us here to the Buddha who left us this great teaching that attracted all of us here. Causes and conditions too numerous to even fathom. And yet, one of the great delusions that we can have is that we are not part of this stream. Think about the self-made billionaire, usually a self-made man, describing himself as never taking anything from anybody and never having a leg up and being entirely his own creation. What a phenomenal delusion. Carl Sagan once wrote, "If you want to make an apple pie from scratch, first you have to invent the universe. If you want to make a self-made billionaire from scratch, first you have to invent the universe." But there is a darker side to this, because many of us tell ourselves stories similarly, that we are separate, that we are not part of this great flow of causes and conditions. That we are the one at fault. I am the one who ruined this relationship. She is the one who destroyed our marriage. I am the one who's the person who can never be redeemed. All of this, again, a story about separation, a story about being out of this flow of causes and conditions. So painful. And so what Wendy Nakao urges us to do is to take responsibility for our actions and thereby free ourselves and free others, but also to forgive ourselves and others. Let us vow to remember all that appears will disappear. In the midst of uncertainty, let us so love. And so we sit here, watching everything arising and passing away in each moment, and watching cause and effect play out in the simplest ways. A moment of distraction and tea gets flung all over the kitchen. Or a tiny act of kindness from the person sitting next to you on the zabuton. And suddenly you feel this suffusion of warmth and gratitude. Cause and effect, causes and conditions. And so our practice is to live into this, to look deeply into this thing called karma, operating in each moment, to turn toward doing good, to, when we can, cease to do evil. When we can avoid causing harm, we avoid it. And when we can't avoid causing harm, we cause the least harm possible. And in this way, we take this wonderful invitation. Here, now, I call to you. Let us together live the great peace we are.